If you've ever wondered why Amazing Grace is the national anthem of funerals, or pondered the state of your eternal soul after you die, the Lutheran Witness has you covered. Check out the June and July issue of the Lutheran Witness to learn more about death, dying, heaven, and hell. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/trylutheranwitness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 digital or print issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
The Bible tells us that to minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us. And that is just what we're doing by walking away from this accord.
The American left liked Russia a whole lot more when it was Marxist and communist than the American left likes Russia now.
The fundamental problem for every society is the unattached male.
The fact of the virginal conception, the fact that she is the Theotokos, the mother of God and so forth. We rejoice in those things because they tell us something special, not about Mary, but instead they tell us something special about Jesus, about who he is.
Missouri dairy farmers love issues, etc.
Most of us think of spiritual crisis and we think about it occurring with adults, people who have complicated lives, whose lives are marred by all kinds of things that can bring on a spiritual crisis, a crisis of faith, or a period of doubt, even for Christians. But if you've read recently in the Wall Street Journal a piece by Claire Ansberry, The Teenage Spiritual Crisis, at least the data seems to show that that spiritual crisis, that crisis of faith, may occur much earlier in life for some than we have previously considered. Is this a time of doubt? And if it is, why is that a time of doubt? Is it a good idea for us to be, in many cases, asking young people to either confirm or to take further instruction in the faith when they're entering into this common period of doubt in their early teens? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Dr. Jan Lohmeyer will join us for the first few minutes of the program to talk about a Wall Street Journal story titled The Teenage Spiritual Crisis. Pastor Ted Giese joins us to review the movie Wonder Woman, being touted by some as a feminist epic and others by a anti-feminist epic. The New York Times editorial that was recently written that blamed Republicans for Wednesday's shooting at a congressional baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia, will be the subject of our conversation with Molly Hemingway of Fox News. Then it's listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line, responding to as much of your feedback as we can in the second hour of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with your questions or your comments over the next 2 hours, or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And you can also leave your questions or your comments, your show suggestions or criticism at the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about the Wall Street Journal story recently titled The Teenage Spiritual Crisis, Dr. Jan Lohmeyer. He teaches apologetics at Lutheran High School North in Houston, Texas. He's adjunct professor at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Lohmeyer, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's a pleasure.
In your decades of teaching young people, have you personally witnessed the spiritual crisis that's described in the Wall Street Journal piece?
Yes, and I can tell you right now, it's one of the reasons I started teaching apologetics about 15 years ago. I think apologetics is the crucial issue right now for our church and for all the churches and the Christian denominations. I think right now that we are struggling over the question of what is truth. Now, this article by Claire Ansberry is interesting for a couple of reasons. We've got a 16-year-old changing into an 18-year-old that talks about why he stopped praying, and then at 18 he prayed for this man who was suffering again, and God didn't answer him. One of the problems that we have here is that a lot of our students, especially at the high school age, are not being taught the truth. They're going to college and they're finding all of these professors who are teaching them that evolution is the answer and that the things that you were taught in church were false and are false. We're not standing up, I don't think, as a church and telling our young people we have the truth, and science and the Bible go hand in hand. I lost, and when I was teaching at a young age back in my 20s, I lost a football player, a star football player. He left the church because of this question of evolution, and that's why I started teaching apologetics, and we're still seeing it today. I'm continually, after people graduate, I teach it only to seniors in high school, and I'm continually getting emails from students who graduated, and this is the way they start, Todd, every single time. You're not going to believe, Dr. Lohmeyer, what the college professor told me today. And that's the way they start their emails. And this is happening on a regular basis. By the way, I hate to just start rambling here, but this is why the new catechism that's coming out is going to be very, very important for our Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. There's a lot of apologetics in it, and there is a lot of discussion of the truth. If we can go back to the Bible right now and just remember why Jesus came into this world, when he was talking to Pontius Pilate, remember what he said. He said, "For this reason I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Now, a few years back, Pew Research Center did a fantastic report, and that was in May 12, 2015. And they said that members of the youngest generation of adults in the U.S. are far less likely than older Americans to identify with a religious group. The question was, why? Why are they doing this? And the survey found out from these students that they do not feel that the church is being real. They're not being truthful. And they also believe that they have lied to us about science. Now, the problem we have here is that we're not teaching the truth, the whole reason why Jesus came into the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We are dealing with an argument of what is truth, and we have to stand firm on the biblical truths that coincide with science, that coincide with the historical findings, the archaeological findings. We need to start teaching apologetics along with our confirmation. Now, I think it's amazing. When you take a look, the Barway Institute did a report too, and they said that the top reasons why young people leave the church, the top three reasons, one of them was churches come across as antagonistic to science. And don't forget, when we have confirmation in our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, one of the things that we state in that rite of confirmation, do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? And the answer is yes. And then we lose 60% of them when they go to college. We lose 60% of them. Barn research told us that. Only 40% stay in the church. Well, the problem is we're not teaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we're not telling our students and our high school students that the Bible and science go hand in hand because God created science. So, yes, I'm really upset that we don't in our churches teach apologetics on the high school level. I think every single church should be teaching a class in apologetics. We kind of do when we teach the catechism. The catechism originally from Martin Luther, the small catechism, was a book of apologetics. But we're kind of we're falling away from that. In fact, there are some churches that aren't even using the catechism anymore. There are some of our Lutheran schools that aren't even using the catechism anymore. Well, I sure hope that when the new catechism comes out that every single Lutheran church is using this to teach our high school students, to teach our college students, to make sure that they understand what the truth is. I'm sorry I rambled, but this is something that I have really believed in for a long time, and I wish the church would wake up.
I wonder, it seems as though, to pick up on both something in the Wall Street Journal piece and something you mentioned earlier, there's some supporting evidence that due to kind of the ongoing brain development of young people, early teens, they begin to notice things in the world around them, they begin to think more abstractly, and they begin to perhaps have doubts about the things that they have been taught. You mentioned earlier the onslaught that begins not only in college, but earlier than college, and often in secular schools, against the Christian faith. Is that onslaught capitalizing on a natural development in many of our teenagers to doubt what they're being told?
Or to question everything. And I don't have a problem with that. In fact, when I start my apologetics class with the 18-year-olds, 17 and 18-year-olds that I teach, I start the class by saying, I want you to question everything and that I'm going to say in this class, because I think it's important to do that. However, you have to have a basis for your foundation of your belief, your faith. And that's why we start with God's Word. I noticed that in the report, in the Wall Street article also, that, you know, he even mentions that they recognize the hypocrisy in people and institutions around them at that age. Well, yeah, that's true, but you got to remember that that's caused because of sin. And one of the problems that we're not teaching is the truth about sin. We're not teaching the truth about law and gospel, too. And what I don't see in this young Thomas Ramey that is in this article here, you know, as a 16-year-old, he quit praying a few years ago when he was 16 years old. And then later on, it says, I started praying again for this man that was suffering so much. He suffered and died in a terrible way. And he just doesn't have this faith in God. In fact, he doesn't believe in life after death. Well, that's one of the themes of apologetics, based on 1 Peter 3:15, which says we should always be prepared to give a defense for the hope that is in us. The hope that is in us is life after death, to live with Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's also a point that we need to stress for these students, is that sin is the cause of this problem. We live in a sinful world. My goodness, we have to make sure that everybody understands that things are not good in this world. They're bad because there's evil. We have sin in this world from the fall of man. We need to teach that so they understand that they have to deal with that on a regular basis. Things aren't always going to go your way. And, you know, the answer to some of our prayers is not what we think it should be, but we have a gracious and loving God who knows what's best for us, and we need to be able to teach that to our students. So it's a struggle. It's a struggle with truth. And I think that our church is missing the boat, so to speak, when we don't teach apologetics on the high school level. I think every single church should be teaching this on Sunday morning to their high school students, or at least offer a class in apologetics.
Dr. Jan Lohmeyer is our guest. We're talking about a Wall Street Journal story titled The Teenage Spiritual Crisis. On this Thursday, June the 15th, he teaches apologetics at Lutheran High School North in Houston, Texas, and he's adjunct professor at Concordia University, Texas. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about the growth of that group among young people. That's where the growth is fastest, of the nuns, those who claim no religious affiliation. Stay tuned. Jesus the good teacher, Jesus the therapist, Jesus the giver of bling. The Issues Etc. book of the month for June is Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? 12 False Christs. It's written by regular guest Dr. Matt Richard. Read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or purchase Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up? By calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month, Will the Real Jesus Please Stand Up?
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Stuck in traffic? Waiting in line at the grocery store? Do better than scrolling through pictures of your aunt's chai latte and your friend's distraught statuses regarding the football game on Facebook. Download the digital version of the Lutheran Witness and get your theological fix instead. Not a subscriber? Visit cph.org/try-Lutheran-Witness for a special offer of $6.99 for 6 issues. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran perspective.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about a Wall Street Journal story titled The Teenage Spiritual Crisis with Dr. Jan Lohmeyer. Dr. Lohmeyer, you hinted at this earlier in our conversation, but there's no doubt about it, especially among young people, that category that pollsters have noticed exponential growth in, although it's not a majority, obviously, but it's still the fastest growing group of people in the United States who classify themselves as the nuns, as people who claim no religious affiliation. Is this kind of the funnel group into which a lot of young people end up falling when they've been through the ringer of not only their own spiritual crisis, but the onslaught to the Christian faith they face in education?
Yeah, and by the way, this grows further. Let's say that we have those members who later on in life, they've graduated from college or high school, and they have a family now. And now they're coming back to church because they have children. Now, these people are sometimes questioning the institutions also, and they're not sure they want to be a member. Why are non-denominational churches growing? One of the reasons is because, first of all, people think they need to be entertained when they go to church. And second of all, they don't want to be be in an organization and be involved. They just want to go, listen, and come back, and that's it. It's over. We spend our hour or two on Sunday morning. And they don't want to be a part of an organized religion. One of the reasons why the Protestant churches are declining in membership. Who wants to go to a voters meeting? They only argue when they get there in the first place. I hear this from students in high school who talk about what their father and mother say about the church and voters meetings. I see this in my own church that I belong to. So it's something we need to deal with as a church body in expressing the fact that it's not what we want, it's what does God want. One of the things that really upsets me about churches today is that they seem to be more concerned with what man wants than what God wants. And to know what God wants, you have to know God's word. In fact, take a look at how many people, including high school, college students, are even attending a Bible class. Who's in Bible classes today? And their thinking is that they've heard that before, they don't need to hear it again. I get that all the time from students who are starting my apologetics class as seniors. I get this from 18-year-olds who are saying, you know, we've heard this over and over and over again. We went through confirmation. I had to memorize all these Bible passages. I know all of that. And then you start asking the hard questions. In fact, we ought to be asking some of these questions to some of our people, our adults in our churches. For example, the top 5 questions that I found that children are asking from the junior high level is, well, what happened to the dinosaurs? Now, can our adults in our church answer that question? Or here's another question from a teenagers. How did Noah get all of those animals on the ark? There's over millions and millions of species. Can our people in our church pews answer that question? Here's another one that a child asks on a regular basis. Why did Grandpa have to die? Now, can we give a proper answer to that as adults? I'm talking to adults now, because this is why our children are asking questions and doubting. And then the next question is, where did I come from? Where did we come from? Here's another question. Did God really create the world, or did it evolve? And can you prove that? And of course, one of the top questions today is, could aliens be real? Now, those are children questions. There are a whole bunch of apologetic questions that come from 18-year-olds. And here's a few. I've written these down over the ages, and here are some of my top 10. Is life a coincidence? Did man evolve from apes? I know that's similar to the other one. Has the Creator made me also, and does God really care for me? It's exactly what this student was asking in this article. Am I responsible to the Creator for what I do with my life? Did you read the last statement in this article?
Yes.
His strongest belief these days is in the equality of all humans from birth to death, and that the only meaning we have in this world is that which we inject into it. Are you kidding me? And if a student is saying that to me, then I know that we don't have an understanding of God's love, and I know we don't have an understanding of biblical truths. And the truth is in the Scriptures, that's for sure. You know, we've got to go back to that question of the truth. Don't forget what Jesus told the disciples about who the devil was. And that's one of the things that we have to understand. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, Jesus said in John 17 in his great high priestly prayer. No, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, but sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We have to make sure that we are teaching our people the truth, and God wants us to sanctify them in that. Well, what is it? It's God's word. And don't forget what he said about the devil. You are the father of lies, and your will is to do what your father desires. He's talking to the Pharisees. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. Talking about the devil. And he also said, when he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. The whole battle we have today on this earth is lies versus truth. And we need to make sure we have the answers for these questions to these students, or else we're going to lose them. And according to Barnett, we're losing 60% of it.
Then with only about 30 seconds here, Dr. Lohmeyer, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. Do we need to, at an earlier age, begin telling these children the very kind of challenges that they will face there? Not only equipping them to respond to them, but letting them know, this is what you're going to hear. Don't be surprised when you hear your professor say X, Y, and Z. Your thoughts with about 30 seconds.
Yes, that is exactly what, way to go, Todd. That is exactly what we need to do. And we need to be able to teach our adults in our churches what the questions are, and then they better know the answers to these. And if adults think they have already learned all the answers, they're lying to themselves, and the truth is not in them. What they have to do is they need to get back into the Word of God.
Dr. Jan Lohmeyer teaches apologetics at Lutheran High School North in Houston, Texas, and he's adjunct professor at Concordia University, Texas. Dr. Lohmeyer, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we're going to be reviewing the movie Wonder Woman with Pastor Ted Giese, hailed as a pro-feminist film and an anti-feminist film at the same time, about the character that is, is she a goddess or what is she? and some of the themes that we find in there of good and evil. All that in our review of Wonder Woman with Pastor Ted Giese after this.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
People are talking about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Lutheran FCU was created solely to serve LCMS workers, families, and entities, and proceeds benefit LCMS organizations. Lutheran FCU offers deposit accounts and loans and has service access at thousands of branches and ATMs nationwide. Lutheran FCU also offers members Christian-based lending advice for new loans and refinancing, minimal account fees, and superior personalized service. Check them out at LutheranFCU.org.
He's the most Lutheran man in the world.
I'm not always in Pensacola, Florida, but when I am, I attend Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Congregation of Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Pensacola, Florida invites you to join us for divine services on Sundays at 8 or 10:30. Sunday school and Bible class at 9:15. Whether you're in Pensacola to enjoy the white sandy beaches of the Emerald Coast or for military training, we invite you to join us. Jesus is here. Word, water, bread and wine for you.
Emmanuel, God with us.
Stay Lutheran, my friends.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.